Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Rosie Butter.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Keg Band with Here We Go, Piffles Podcast, ready to go, episode 104. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
And we have a, for a show that doesn't have a lot going on, we have a lot to get to. So we'll get to that in just a second. Before we get started, be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at Real Alex D.
You'll find me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Follow Amy as well at Real Amy D.
Check if she's back. Is she back on Twitter?
She's back on Twitter.
Full time.
I don't know for how long. Yeah. But while she's there, give her a follow anyway. Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast, is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out their great happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. And of course, their fall blizzard lineup, and they still have a cheeseburgers on right now, don't they?
Yes, they do. Of course they do.
We should definitely go do that right after the show.
I know I am.
Well, let's get started here. Lots to go. This is the opening kickoff. So, let's start off the opening kickoff with the latest Rider news. Okay, and we're done. Not a lot going on right now. You know, the league puts the kind of...
The moratorium.
Moratorium on, is that what the word is? Is that the right word?
That's the right
word. The moratorium on coaching announcements and all that other player transactions, all that stuff during Grey Cup week. And so we got nothing from the Riders in the last week or so.
I think that officially lifted today or
yesterday? Yeah, because signings were being announced today. Hardrick got signed by the Bombers.
Odell Willis.
Which, Hervey loves him, and I'm surprised. I'm sure Hervey signed him. I'm surprised he didn't sign him like 15 seconds after the moratorium came off. But yeah, you didn't see Odell going anywhere.
No, we'll talk a few more player signings here in just a little bit. But obviously the big game, the Grey Cup. Grey Cup 106. Unfortunately, Calgary ended up beating Ottawa in a not-so-classic game, 27-16. Now, I was there. You guys obviously were watching it on TV. The game itself, before I kind of share what I thought, what did you guys think of the game, and how did it look on TV?
Sloppy.
Well, you got remember the memorable Grey Cup games. You got the Fog Bowl, the Ice Bowl, the Snow Globe game in Hamilton. This is going to be the Slip and Slide Bowl. The guys couldn't keep their footing anywhere. It was gross looking, and I don't care what anyone says. Don't move the season. I don't care. But, it was an ugly game. And I blame that on the field, not on just because the game was in November.
Yeah, you had two quality football teams out there who couldn't play up to really the level we've come to expect on Grey Cup Sunday because of conditions that were inside of the league's control. I mean, this wasn't bad weather. This wasn't, you know, a sudden storm. This was a slippery field that they couldn't get under control day of the game. It was not exciting to watch. I don't want to sit there and watch guys falling on their ass all game.
But the worst part is, though, it wasn't like this was a shock. The teams, well, Calgary especially, was complaining all the way up until Sunday. So, which is funny, because if you look at on Twitter, Alabama brought in helicopters to dry their field the same day. And I think I saw on Twitter, NCAA, they bring in helicopters and CFL hands out broom ball shoes. Like, it's... You think they would have been on top of that earlier, considering both teams were raising concerns that this is not acceptable.
And you're right. This people are going to use this as an excuse to move up the season, but it had zero to do with weather. From all accounts, it looked like Edmonton had great weather.
It was most of Grey Cup week, the entire week. Like, it got up to 7 degrees Celsius on Friday, Saturday afternoon. Like, it was a nice week, and the game day itself was pretty nice. Like, I mean, I didn't even wear a jacket. I had two hoodies on, and then my Rider jersey over top of that, and my core was fine. My legs were a little bit cold. I had long underwear and just regular jeans. If I would have had lined jeans, I would have been more than fine. and then just a pair of mini gloves and a toque. Like, it wasn't cold by any means.
Substantially better than last time they were in Edmonton.
Yes, very much so. That was gross. That, it didn't matter how much you were wearing, you were cold back in 2010. But I don't think the game... I mean, I saw people, players sliding around on the field a little bit. Probably not as much as you guys, because I'm assuming that they focused a little bit more on TV about that. There was very little replay in that stadium for the game. The game itself was I thought it was fine. It wasn't a classic. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, remember that game when Calgary won? No, Calgary fans aren't even going to remember this game. Like, the game wasn't fun. The defense for Calgary stepped up when they had to, causing turnovers, fumbles, and interceptions. But Ottawa's offense was moving the ball pretty much at will. So was Calgary's offense, actually. But Calgary just didn't turn the ball over. But
yeah, Trevor Harris had a bad game to go into free agency with. That was ugly looking.
Well, from what I heard, he's not going to be going into free agency. They've already got a...
They have a deal with framework in place. Yeah. Marcel Desjardins from Ottawa, the GM there, he wants a 2 to 3 year deal, so they'll probably work around with that. But with the CBA and you know, non-guaranteed contracts... Actually, I should find a tweet here with Arash Madani tweeting out some kind of rebuttal to Desjardins. It's actually...
Desjardins there stepped in it with his comments. Was it today or yesterday?
It was on Wednesday.
Wednesday, saying basically, we already know the cap's not going to go up much. So you know immediately the PA is going to go, oh yeah?
You're part of negotiations how?
Yeah. So obviously, I don't know if Desjardins was talking out of turn or what, but that is not good going into a negotiation when you're basically telling the PA, yeah, you guys aren't getting any more money.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, contentious CBA.
This is going to be CBA. This is going to be a fight.
I feel like that's a topic for
we'll talk most about that of the off-season. We'll get into it a little bit more. The game itself, Bo Levi Mitchell named most outstanding player.
I disagree with that
completely, too.
Who would you have given it to, though?
Anyone on the defense. Like,
but it was a collective effort. There wasn't one person that really stood out.
But Bo Levi Mitchell didn't stand out.
He threw
230 yards and 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
They love their quarterbacks. Unless somebody really stands out, the winning quarterback is always most outstanding player. Unless somebody totally blows it away.
Yeah, I'm looking at these stats and there's nobody offensively other than Bo Levi who had more than 65 yards. That's insane. They spread it around a bunch, but
what about
Terry Williams
and Lamar Durant getting outstanding Canadian with what, 40 yards?
Four catches and 30 yards.
30 yards. It wasn't a banner day for anybody, really.
And in a situation like that, I hate the fact that you supposedly have to give a player from the winning team the player of the game awards. That's BS in my mind.
Well, who on Ottawa?
I would have gave most outstanding Canadian to I trip over his name every time.
Yoli Gaudino.
Thank you.
That touchdown was nice, by the way. That came into our end.
He hit over 100 yards, and I would have gave it to him. Most outstanding Canadian in that game.
He had one catch for 55 yards.
Maybe more than that.
Nope. One catch for 55 yards.
I don't know, but
I mean, this really was a game. You're right. This is never going to stand out. There was no player that stood out. There was no moment that stood out other than Terry Williams. Punt return touchdown.
And that was a record for longest punt return touchdown or punt return in a Grey Cup game ever, 97 yards. And wish I could tell you that I saw it live, but we were in the concourse then getting ready to go to Westavis and visit a bunch of some of the CFL family from across the country. But we saw it on TV.
Did you do the freep?
They were doing that just as we got there. So unfortunately not. I did not do the freep. I was sad.
That dance is beautiful.
It's something already. So, like I said, there was no replays. There was very little replay inside the stadium and nothing that I really wanted to see. And the angles that they showed just weren't that good. And overall game experience on the inside, honestly, really wasn't that good. I don't know what it is. The stadium PA guy was getting names wrong the entire time. Didn't know how to pronounce the players' names. He was getting them wrong all game long.
And I heard that.
Normally that's my thing. It's like, you know what? You know your job going into that game is to say all these players' names, right? Maybe listen to a broadcast. Maybe go down on the field before the game and be like, hey, your name is Jawan Breskison, not Breskason, right? Like, you're just guessing and you sound like an idiot. So the guy that was doing it there, I don't know if it was a CFL appointed. I don't know if it was the Edmonton guy. You would think the Edmonton guy would probably know this by now.
You think the CFL guy would know by now?
You would think. I don't know who it was, but it was terrible. I hope it never happens again. You might as well have a kid do it. Like, at least they'll sound cute.
That'd be fun.
Right?
Like, CFL idea for 2019.
I'm all for that. That's great.
Like, speaking for personal experience, doing color commentary for the Thunder games, we break down every name before we go through because, yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
It's a professional product.
Exactly. And I'm talking, like, Canadian junior football. Like, this is the CFL. Like, they should be better than that.
Yeah. But in-game experience wasn't that great. Had some, we were in the end zone near a whole crap ton of Stampeders fans, so they had their cowbells going, and they were yelling on defense, and granted, probably most of the, I don't know how it sounded on TV, but I think most of the stadium was ABC, because you got a lot of the Edmonton fans there, and they're like, why would I want my, you know, our biggest rival to win?
It sounded pretty mixed,
to be honest with you. On the TV.
There was no clear
But later in the fourth, winner. It really showed up that, like, once Calgary started getting those interceptions in the fourth, that, you know, it was getting pretty, there was a lot of Calgary fans there. But, so, I mean, good for Calgary, I guess. Like, congratulations on winning a game you're supposed to.
Yeah, congratulations.
For the first time in 3 years.
Congratulations for being the best team in the league for 3 years and having one title to show for it.
Yeah,
good for you.
They don't have to change their names to the Bills, so I guess they have that going for them right now.
And I said it on Twitter, you know, for all of us who hate watching Calgary win, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right?
That's right.
I'm just happy for a guy like Bakari Grant, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a guy. I personally don't like saying that player deserves a championship. No one deserves a championship until you win it. But Bakari's a champion off the field. Like, he's one of the nicest guys. He's a community-involved guy. Like, that's just the guy you want to see win. And, I mean, he was only there for about a month or so. But
and that was a crime in itself. Yeah. Like, he never should have been sitting at home that long.
And guys like Derek Dennis, former Rider as well, too.
Marabere.
But, honestly, Alex Singleton. I'm really happy for him. A lot of people won't like this because they don't like Singleton now. But you guys clearly saw what happened to him and his sister.
Mm-hmm. That was a high.
Like, that right there is what the league is all about, and what winning a championship really is. It's sharing it with your family and seeing that and his sister. I mean, actually, when we were leaving Ottawa last year in the airport, the Singleton family was just ahead of us, and you could see that they were all kind of dejected and you know, after losing to Toronto, especially the way that they lost to Toronto last year. But to see her and she cried after the game because Alex didn't win. But they won this year, and it was happy tears, and it was smiles and stuff like that. I mean, it's great to see.
Well, and we look at it, and the reason we don't like Alex Singleton sometimes, he comes across as a bit of a dick on the field. But the moment the game is over, they're people, and that moment is one of the few things I'll probably remember from this game because it was a good, beautiful Canadian moment. I liked it.
All right, so that's the game. The experience of Edmonton, just want to give a kudos to the Edmonton Grey Cup Festival Committee because it was a blast.
Did you do the, what do you call it, the zip line?
The zip line? No, we didn't do that. We walked by it on Wednesday when we were walking down the, was it Wednesday or Thursday? One of those 2 days. I think it was Thursday, actually, when we went down by the festival and saw a couple of those things. I didn't actually do it. They had a bungee jump, and I'm going to say this in quotes, bungee jump. It was about 2.5, maybe 3 stories, and they just lowered you down. There was no jump to it. They just literally lowered you down and had somebody, like, you were going,
like super, how you're moving your hand, like anybody listening can see that.
Right?
Well, yeah, this is an audio medium, so Alex is moving his hand, showing us it.
Yeah.
Very slowly.
It was very slow, so it took about 20 seconds to get down the 2.5 stories. I mean, great for kids, right? But there was a bunch of adults do it, and I'm like, like, that'd be cool if you could jump down and there's a little bit of bounce to it, but once they lowered you, the rope just stopped and they grabbed you, and that was it. So, whatever. The zip line looked all right. The tube slide was probably the coolest thing that they had, and I know, Steve, you went down the tube slide.
I did go on the tube slide.
Your face did, anyway. Julian with the Grey Cup Society, they have a Twitter account as well, too, but they ended up doing a big cardboard cutout of your face, because they wanted you to be at the Grey Cup so bad, and they took you everywhere. You went more places than me, and you had more fun than I did. You were literally everywhere.
I had more fun this Grey Cup when I wasn't there than I had in 2010, and I had a blast in 2010, so thanks for that. That was great.
I like you, Steve, but I see you 3-4 times a week sometimes. I had enough of your face by Thursday. And I didn't even see it in person by then.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of people that probably had hashtag big head Saffim on.
I was this close, and again, using my fingers here to show how you know distance and everything, I was this close to muting that hashtag. So I was like, oh my god, how many more pictures of Steve's face do I need to
do? I wasn't
but it was cool.
There.
The idea is great.
I wasn't there, and I was living it through Twitter, and I'm like, I'm unplugging for 2 days.
The idea was great. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And there were some great pictures taken. But the video of Julian holding
that was my favorite
going
part.
Down the slide, that was absolutely fantastic.
Because it's a perfect face to go down a slide with. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, visual. Right. Once again, this is audio, Steve, not visual.
For those listening to this, I'm doing Steve face in the background as I mentally go down the hill.
But it was a great, great event. The Wednesday night, honestly, I think is my favorite part of Grey Cup. It's not an actual official Grey Cup festivity, but everybody who gets into town early, you just go to the bar and just have drinks, and that was it. And got to meet a whole bunch of people, a bunch of different podcasters. Finally got to meet Brazilian Ty from the Two and Out podcast. That man knows his music. He probably doesn't remember seeing me that night because he had a lot to drink. He ended up winning $600 on 2 hockey games, so he was in a pretty good mood that night and ended up buying drinks.
How did he win 600?
Josh from Podski Wee Wee.
You know what I liked about Josh? He realized this week, he's not the outgoing personality guy, he realized this weekend what makes Grey Cup so special and is already planning on coming back for 2019.
Yeah, so meeting him was great, and of course all the other, you know, CFL family and podcasters that we've met before, seeing them again. It's people that you sometimes only see once a year, and that's what makes Grey Cup so great. So overall, it was just a great experience. The CFL did a great job too. Had the Grey Cup meetup, the little tweet up. Surprising, the Reklaws showed up, played their. Well, 2 songs that they have, Long Live the Night, and then their other single as well, too.
My God, so I think they're cool. Still playing Long Live the Night, introducing the players.
Are you as sick as that song as you are of Steve's face?
Close. I understand. Like,
Steve's doing Steve's face.
Yeah, once again, yeah. Stop with that. Okay, so here's the thing. I understand that's their hit, and they play the song, and it was the Thursday Night Football song. This is mini rant right now. But, so they played it. That's fine. Why are you doing the players' entrances to that song on an infinite loop?
After they played it
before the show. Yeah. And then,
if you're going to play the song while the players are coming in, don't play it before the show. Because they probably played that song 5 times by the time all the players came out.
So here's the question. Which was longer? The Long Live the Night from the Grey Cup? Or the original opening game on Thursday night with Winnipeg and Edmonton.
The one that they should have played
for 6 hours.
Long Live the Night's probably still going on, like I said, and it's been. It's yeesh. Like that song when I first heard it, and now I'm done with it.
Anyway, Edmonton, you guys did a bang up job here in Grey Cup 106, and Calgary's up in Grey Cup 107 next year in 2019.
Don't blow it, because I might actually show up to this one.
I'll be there. I've already got accommodations. I'm coming.
Yeah, plans are already in place. We got our place all set up and everything, too. So.
And I'm bringing a big head version of myself.
Oh, God.
So I just, you don't ever actually see my real face.
We can bring a big head of Alex, but it's like a sock puppet.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a very big head at all. Screw you.
I've been waiting to use that joke, actually.
The opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Feston of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out our Facebook page, Kathy Feston Royal LePage. Some CFL news and notes to talk about. We're actually going to talk quarterback predictions here. I did an article on this pifflespodcast.com a little bit earlier, early last week. But I want your guys' take on this, and we'll get to this in a minute, where quarterbacks, free agent quarterbacks, are going to end up in 2019. But 2 things came up. One, we'll start with on Tuesday night, the AAFL had their quarterback draft. And so some of these names, if you're a pretty hardcore football fan, you'll recognize these names. Guys like Josh Johnson, Aaron Murray, they were protected in the first 2 picks overall. But then there's guys that you're not going to probably hear of, Trevor Knight, Garrett Gilbert, some guys still out of college, right? So it's a lot of names that you're not going to recognize. But there are 3 names Rider fans should recognize here. 1, in round 2, was Blake Sims. At the very end of round 2, Marquise Williams, selected by the San Antonio Commodores. Blake Sims, selected by the Birmingham Iron. Other names you might recognize as well, too, Scott Tolzien.
Commanders.
Commanders? What did I say?
Commodores.
Commodores. Ah, well, that's their problem.
Sorry, I'm the sports identity nerd, that's why.
It is Commanders, yes, thank you. Scott Tolzien.
After you made fun of the Edmonton guy for mispronouncing names.
It's not terrible. My job to know...
terrible.
It's not my job to know the AFL.
This is a professional podcast.
Yeah.
We're both professional as this league's about to be. Scott Tolzien, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, Steve, you'll recognize that. Zach Mettenberger and Alex Ross as well, too. But the other name that people will recognize, BJ Daniels. Hashtag once a rider.
Always a rider.
And he was selected by the Salt Lake Stallions.
The name on there actually that I recognize that I was really hoping would be up here is that Luis Perez. He was taken in the first round. You have to tell me who it is.
Birmingham Iron.
That's it, right? The Iron. Not the he's the on
Commodores.
The Riders.
No, not the Commodores.
Yeah.
The 64s.
There you go. He's on the Riders negotiation list. And I covered him in the when I looked at the Riders negotiation list story. And he started off as a fifth string on a community college team, played his way up to the starting, played his way into Div 2, and won like every game after that as the starter. And he was an undrafted free agent in the NFL this year, I believe, with the Texans, and he got cut in the last day. I was really hoping to see him up here with a work ethic like that. Like, he worked his ass off.
Well, if he shows in this league, maybe, and depending on how long this league actually goes, maybe he does make his way up north. Another name you might recognize, Christian Hackenberg, was drafted by the Jets. So, I mean, some of these names are well-known in the football community, but they're flunk-outs of the NFL.
I just find it funny in the first three rounds there's four Rider players or talent in a six-team league. So, in the top 18 player quarterbacks in that league.
Yeah.
Former Riders or
a Rider negotiationless player.
Well, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with this. They run from, what is it, February to April is their season, so it starts right after the Super Bowl. And ultimately, I think they want to just be a farm league to the NFL.
That's a good time for me to bring this up. And I asked this on Twitter, and I know Greg wanted the opportunity to call me an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm going to give him the opportunity in front of all of our listener.
Not before. Hi, Mom.
not
before I do. Steve, you're an idiot. Beat you to it.
Damn it. Yeah.
So I asked the question, and it was more of a question than me proposing an actual idea. But I asked the question, is there a possibility that the CFL could look at the AAFL as a legitimate league and say, we want to work with you? Because of the way that the leagues work between seasons, you've got the CFL running from basically May until November, and this league runs from what, February till April?
April.
And they work together such that you could potentially play in both leagues, assuming, of course, you were contractually able to do so. So I posed the question, would the league ever consider opening that up as a possibility and allow these guys to go play in the AAFL during their CFL offseason? Go ahead, Greg.
CFL would probably welcome it. AFL will not. The AAFL will not. They are basically trying to... I call it the game of the long con. They're trying to set the system up so in 3 years, the NFL is going to look at the AAFL and use it as a feeder league. Because that's one thing... football fans in the States have always said the NFL is missing. There's nowhere to get talent from if you don't make it immediately out of college. The AAFL has, unfortunately, better insurance, which is something that this CBA is probably going to have to look into. They actually have a clause allowing players to break their AAFL contract and go into the NFL if there's opportunities. CFL obviously doesn't have that right now. So... it's set up so the AAFL owns it, and they're paying their players more than the CFL.
Everybody's guaranteed a 3-year, $275,000 deal.
And
or
so,
$250,000, whatever it is. And that's, unless you're a quarterback in the CFL, that's more than pretty much 60% of the players make.
For 60% of the games.
And these entry level players that are coming into the CFL that are making $55,000 minimum, the CFL means nothing. You're not going to get as much exposure down south. And you're going to get paid more to stay at home and play.
Exactly.
And so that's where it's going to hurt the CFL. It's not going to hurt with existing players already.
Some players are staying down there. Casey Rogers signed with a team. Trent Richardson signed with a team. So you're going to get players like that, but the players coming out of college, they're going to, if the AAFL is going to be around for a while, they're going to look at that to springboard in the NFL if they do not get their shot.
The CFL is going to have to take a farther look down their negotiation list, because those guys that are, you know, 2-3 years down the line are suddenly 5, 6, 7 years down the line. You might have to look at that next tier of
And by that time, they're in their early to mid-30s, and they're not worth bringing up here at that age, right?
And that's why the league is expanding to Mexico and just hockey Europe and even Japan, the X League.
Yeah.
So.
And to anybody that's calling the CFL stupid for going that route and looking at other alternatives, the AFL is exactly why they have to do this. They need to expand. They need to look at every possible option to bring players up north. It doesn't matter where they come from.
And even if the AFL doesn't actually put much of a dent in it, throw in the fact that the XFL is coming in 2 years, that's just another tier of players. If they don't end up in the AFL, they might try the XFL as a way to stay closer to home, so to speak. It's going to depend on what they're paying and what happens. So in the next year, there's going to be a vacuum of talent and that the CFL is going to have to make up.
And to bring this full circle, this is why exactly the CBA is so crucial right now to the CFL in 2019 when it gets hopefully signed.
So seeing a guy like Desjardins go, there's going to be no raise. Exactly. Players that are right at the bottom are going to go, well, I'm out.
And this is why the CFLPA is probably licking their lips right now. The AAFL and the XFL coming right now is probably the best thing that ever happened to the CFLPA, for the simple fact that they have an actual rival to throw in front of the CFL, going, "Hey, like where are these players going to come from? Like, you can only have so many Canadian players."
So this is what Marcel Desjardins said. "I have a pretty good sense that the salary cap is not going to move a whole lot, if at all. If it goes up, it'll be marginally and won't impact the salary of any one single player." So Arash Madani shared a note that he got from Brian Ramsey, who is the executive director of the CFLPA, saying, and I quote, "I'm not sure why the GM in Ottawa would choose to comment on impending CBA negotiations. We are unaware that he would be part of the CFL's bargaining committee. However, Mr. Desjardins does bring up a good point in terms of one-year contracts. Right now, players would consider every contract in our league to only be a one-year commitment, as the teams are able to release a player at any time without salary or benefit protection. I'm confident our members would be willing to commit to a team for multiple years if that level of commitment was shared by both parties. Seeing as most management salaries are 4 to 5 times the average player salary, while also being guaranteed, we'd be happy to dissect those numbers with CFL management in a solution-based effort to find continuity across our league."
That's a much better response than Marcel Desjardins just opening his yap.
And that's a great point, too. So this is going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm. But it has to be. Otherwise, the players are going to get diddly squat if they
don't. Oh, you had a glorious opportunity to say diddly poo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And keep the football reference going. Anyway, Jim Mora. But it's going to be so... But this, it's so crucial. And the CFL, and everyone talks about how, you know, terrible Jeffrey Orange was and how great Randy Ambrosi is. This right here is going to be Randy Ambrosi's legacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the first real test that he's had to face. And as a former player, I hope that shows benefit. But,
former CFLPA member.
Exactly. But he's also a Canadian O-lineman, and we joke about this before, who is the CFLPA ran by? Well, Canadian O-lineman who CFLP- get paid more than anybody else because of their passport and longevity.
CFLPA stands for Canadian F'n Lineman Players Association.
Right. But now that he's actually working for the league on the other side, hopefully that reels in some common sense, and I think we can all agree we want the players to be paid more because we want these good players to stay in our league and we want them here for a long time, especially with these short contracts. You don't get that personal feel with the players anymore because there's so much movement. We don't want that anymore. We want, you know, look in the NFL. You can grab a jersey of a first-round player.
you know,
he's gonna be, be there for 7-10 years.
Or you can buy a Keith Tostin jersey and see what happens.
Right?
Still my favorite jersey.
But that's exactly it though, right?
But here's the thing, and it's not even just that, like, football is hard. The average lifespan of a football player is 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And we're talking, you got guys like Damon Allen who played for 20. And then you got a guy who, 6 games. So, pay the guys. Yes, it sucks that if you roll out a 3-year contract on a guy and it's a guaranteed deal, be better at scouting. I'm sorry. Like, these contracts are lined up so management can't fail. They still do fail. Hi, Kavis. But I had to get at least one shot in. Yeah. It's been a while. But
pretty sure you got one in last week.
Oh, probably. It's my gimmick, all right? he gets fired, 94% of my material's gone. But it's, players have a short lifespan. They need to be set up. It's a dangerous game, as Zach Caleros. And you need... These guys need to be taken care of, and the league should be taking care of them. I understand it's a business, but at the same time, the Riders don't need 20 coaches.
And a business needs to protect the commodity, and the players are exactly that. Without them, there is no football. Take care of those players, you know, set them up a little bit better, pay them more. I would not be upset if we saw a 5-7% increase in our season tickets if it meant that money was going straight to...
If it goes directly to the salary cap, I wouldn't have a problem.
Yep,
but the thing is it doesn't.
Yep.
And that's the problem. It's just going to go into executive pockets.
Think of
which is much, like any business.
Absolutely. Think of how much, and this is part of the reason why, kind of digressing, that the other teams wanted the front office salary cap supposedly is because the Riders are spending more money because of all the extra money they bring in. That didn't go to the player. Like the Riders could care less if it goes to the players because salary cap, hey, we only have to spend X amount of dollars.
I'm pretty sure if they said, hey, go ahead, go over the salary cap, the Riders would be like, yep, let's do it.
Probably.
It's going to be a long...
This is going to be something to monitor.
Long offseason with that.
Yep. One other note, want to make a quick note of here. Halifax Council, and this was announced on Grey Cup Friday. If there is a 10th team, it will be named the Atlantic Schooners. So, beer glasses for everybody. Woo! We already have a boat team out east already. We don't need 2 of them. This is a beer team. Anyway.
Beer league football?
Sweet. Anyway, Halifax Council has announced that they have no money set aside or in plan for a stadium. So where is this stadium going to come from? The taxpayers? Nope. That's not going to happen. The owner going to fit the full bill? Nope. Because that never happens nowadays unless you're Jerry Jones.
That sure as hell isn't happening in the CFL.
They were looking at playing in 2020. That was the latest rumor, and that's not going
to
happen.
No. And I think I brought up to you guys, I'm like, typical CFL, this would be a typical CFL story. Team name Schooners? All right. And now we don't have a stadium, team folds. And that's...
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
we'll revisit this again in 15 years.
Exactly. Like, why... How can you not get this right? I understand there's a want for the team. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
There's fans out there. They have a really good university football program.
Absolutely.
Through that entire region.
How quickly did they sell their what they wanted for season ticket deposits? Wasn't that like within a day?
Pretty much immediately. Yeah.
But that's always been the problem though with the Maritimes. Unfortunately, there's no business like big businesses that are headquartered there. Toronto, especially in the hockey, does well because. Like, the center of the universe in Canada is in Toronto. So that's why the Maple Leafs are always sold out. Blue Jays, same thing. There's no big corporate presence in the Maritimes that will pick up the slack to pay for boxes and all the other stuff that they can. It's going to have to come on the backs of the fans, unfortunately. And they're already talking a 3% increase on taxes, and that's before they put a stadium in.
Add another 4-5% on top of that.
Yeah.
And then add in a, what do they call that? The accommodation tax and the
ticket levies.
I mean, it's got to get done. This is Halifax's last chance. I feel like if they don't get it right this time, the CFL's not looking out there again.
The league isn't going to put together a big thing and announce it at Grey Cup weekend in an official party for this to not be a thing at some point.
Where's the money coming from?
That's a crap. I wish I could answer that, but there's no. If this team doesn't happen, it makes the CFL look Bush League for the fact that they did this big thing and announced the team name. You don't announce that until there's going to be a franchise.
I love the fact that the Grey Cup Festival spoiled it about 3 hours before.
Oh, yeah.
With pictures.
Yeah, pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty anticlimactic on Friday, but I mean, we all knew it was going to be Schooners.
Yeah.
I've got the perfect idea if the Atlantic Schooners does not work out. The team needs to go to Miami and bring back the Manatees. Needs to happen.
Or they can move to Atlanta and be the Atlanta Schooners.
That works. Branding's pretty much the same.
Yeah. You just gotta change, like, drop a little bit.
Yeah.
Just make it happen.
Well, that's another thing that's gonna probably pop up a few more times in the offseason, and we'll keep our eyes on that. Before we go, quarterback predictions. I do want to get to this week, and we're gonna talk Rider free agents in the offseason and whatnot here, but this will be the last thing that we talk about here tonight anyway, on this episode. Free agent quarterbacks. I'm going to list them off. You tell me who goes where.
He's written down.
See? Official. Yeah. We're professionals here. Even typed it out, too. Not just written down. So, you know it's good. Starting in no particular order, out west. Travis Lule.
I say he stays in BC. With both him and Jennings out, I say he stays. And Jennings has already said he's going, and considering how Hervey treated him, that doesn't surprise me.
I say neither of them are back in BC. I think Travis Lule retires.
Hi, Penelope. Travis Lule is going to stabilize the quarterback position in Toronto. Yes, they have James Franklin and they have McLeod Bethel Thompson, but Lule is brought in to try and win now. Jonathan Jennings.
Say hello to your starting quarterback for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
No, I can't see anybody else here.
Took the words right out of my mouth. He's coming to Saskatchewan. Oh, Levi Mitchell.
NFL.
Minnesota Vikings.
Just like all the other CFL players go. Unless he signs in the NFL, and I don't think he's going to take a practice roster spot, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with the Houston Texans as their number two. He's from Texas. I think that'd be a good fit for him. He's going to be a Stampeder. Yeah. I think he ends up staying in Calgary. Mike Riley.
Ed Hervey is going to put a Brinks truck in front of his house and have a boombox above his head and wearing a trench coat and playing music to get him to come to BC. It's BC or Edmonton.
Pick one.
BC.
I agree. It's BC.
Mike Riley's not going anywhere. He's staying in Edmonton. Kevin Glenn.
Atlantic Schooners in 2020.
The Atlanta Schooners?
Yeah. Miami Manatees.
There you go. I say he stays in Edmonton, actually.
What's old is new again in Saskatchewan. Third time's a charm.
Kevin
Glenn's coming back to be our backup.
It'd be fourth time, actually.
Is it fourth?
It'd be the fourth time.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
It'd be number four. Because the last time he came here, he was going to retire a Rider.
Yep.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Fourth time's
a charm for Kevin Glenn.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And with Bo Levi Mitchell heading down south to the NFL, Kevin Glenn heads to Calgary.
Actually, he should head to Toronto to actually put on the uniform to actually complete the set.
Zach Collaros.
He retires.
I'm going to go out on a limb with him, too, and I think he ends up back in Hamilton.
He's going to be reunited with a former teammate, Trevor Harris, as a backup in Ottawa. If he doesn't retire. I hope for his health's sake, long term, he retires. But I think he ends up in Ottawa. Brandon Bridge.
I don't think he's here in the CFL in 2019.
Anywhere?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Someone's going to roll the dice on him. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in BC.
That's exactly my pick. They're going to lose Jonathan Jennings, and they have a quarterback just like him that they can bring in for cheaper. And that's Brandon Bridge.
I could see it.
Trevor Harris, I already said he's staying in Ottawa. You guys think he stays there?
It's Ottawa.
Yeah.
And Ricky Ray.
Retired. I think he got Calvio'd, unfortunately. And that's how you don't want to see one of the top players in this league go out. But that's the way Calvio went out, and that's the way Ricky Ray's going out.
I think he comes back for one more year.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, he'll retire. And Dark Horse selection, should his rights get released, because I think he signed a 2-year deal with Winnipeg, didn't he? Darian Durant.
I thought it was a 1 year deal.
Was it a 1 year deal?
1 year deal.
Was it a one?
I thought it was a one.
Okay, let's restart that. Okay, and a dark horse selection for a guy who is retired, but maybe not necessarily. Darian Durant, does he show up anywhere in 2019?
Hello to your backup quarterback in Saskatchewan Roughriders.
I could see him being that third string guy here, second, third string guy. I'd prefer him to Kevin Glenn. I love Kevin Glenn, but I...
Should Kevin Glenn retire or go elsewhere and not be the backup here in Saskatchewan? Chris Jones panics, needs a backup with any kind of meaningful experience. Darian Durant comes back. I honestly think
they need a quarterback with experience.
But does Darian Durant bury the hatchet with Chris Jones after some of those comments?
Did you hear him at the end of last season?
No.
Oh, he said, or at the end of this season, he said that he wishes he would have came back. Despite all that, he wishes that he stayed here.
Fair enough.
He missed it. And
does Chris Jones go back on what he said and sign him after his comments?
Chris Jones really didn't slag him. He just said he was moderately successful. And to be fair,
he was.
So you want a guy that was moderately successful 4 years ago, who's now older and more moderately successful?
It's better than what we had this year.
Alex is our starting quarterback would have been better than what we had this year.
Well, that's my point, though. Because the only quarterback we have under contract right now is Watford. They refused to let him throw the goddamn ball. They refused.
They brought in a DB so he didn't have to take snaps.
So that Hail Mary he threw in the playoff game was the first time he threw the ball since August. Yep. It's... You need something... It's going to be a young player... I don't know who, probably Jennings, and then you need someone. So unless you roll the dice on a Riley or a Bo Levi or someone you know who is a proven commodity, you're going to go with a young guy, some young kid you're going to bring up who's never been up here before. You need that veteran presence. And Darian Durant,
this is a championship defense that has very, like, assuming that we can get guys back like Sam McGuavin and, you know, Zach Evans and Willie Jefferson and keep this defense intact, they have a very small window of being a dominant defense to win now. They need somebody that can come in and win. They need somebody with experience. Unfortunately, and I'll say it, if they strike out, they're not getting Get Riley. Because then you're going to have to drop probably Charleston Hughes. You're going to have to drop Zach Evans, Willie Jefferson. Like, just for salaries, you're going to have to do that to bring in a guy like Mike Riley, who's going to need $100,000 more, at least, than they were paying Kolaros.
Which is why I hope he ends up in Edmonton or BC.
Do not be surprised if Chris Jones makes another trade for Johnny Manziel.
Ugh. Why? No.
He still has 1 year on his contract. No. He comes in cheap. Chris Jones likes him.
But he's not cheap next year.
Next year he is.
Wasn't it next year was his $400,000? Or was that the other way? It was more expensive this year than next. I'm pretty sure he's got a pretty hefty deal next year. He's got a pretty hefty deal if he plays.
I don't believe so. Greg's going to check for that
right now. I couldn't be talking out my ass. It's my specialty, really. But I remember that he had maybe it was a little less. Maybe it was in that three range, but it was not a...
It's reportedly 122,000 base, 10,000 signing bonus, 18,000 housing stipend. That's according to CBS Sports.
For next season?
Well, that would have been for this
season. Yeah, this year it was cheaper than... But when he redid the... Because wasn't it in Montreal when he redid the deal with Kavis?
He's also supposed to receive $10,000 in bonus if he's active for 6 games, and 10 of 14 games as well for $120,000. Plus there's a $75,000... offseason bonus due March 1st.
See, so we're already looking at $300,000 if he plays 14 games.
His 18 base salary would increase to $202,000 with the same incentives.
So $200,000 plus $125,000 if he played. Mm-hmm. So $325,000 plus $75,000 signing bonus. So you want a $400,000 unproven quarterback.
You're still saving money on a guy who's healthy.
I wouldn't be surprised if...
He's got concussion history too now.
Montreal's going to cut him before that signing bonus anyway.
And then he's heading right down to
the AAFL.
Which would be dumb for him, because he's going to make more money up here.
And the
well, no, because that's only a minimum. That's not what all players will get. A guy like him will get more money than Joe Blow off the street.
Thing is, he's not going to play. Minimum. Thing is, he's not going to play this year. If he goes, if they wait until February 28th to sign him, the season's already like almost halfway through. You're gonna bring him in and throw the thing out the window? One team might, but no.
I don't. I love the story of Johnny Manziel and what he did up here. He has said and done all the right things. But for me now, I'm looking at him as a player only. And I'm sorry, but after seeing what we saw with Zach Caleros for, what was it, $450,000 a year, I don't want Johnny Manziel for what you just said was $400,000 in 2019. He has not proven to be anywhere near that yet. Could he be?
That's your marker A for a quarterback in the CFL, though. I'm not condoning it. I don't think that's what they should do, but I'm just saying, don't be surprised if Chris Jones makes a play for him.
I think I'm just mostly angry because I see it happening. But
well,
you know what? And if he shows up, I will back him. I have nothing against him. I just don't like the idea of him for potentially $400,000. Although if he's starting that many games, it means he's succeeding, which means maybe he's earning it. I will be first in line to get a Johnny Manziel jersey if he wins us a Grey Cup. Wait, no, I won't. I take that back. I will not get a Johnny Manziel jersey because, you know, curse. But you understand what I mean. I will back him all the way. I just don't want to see it.
Well, that'll be another domino in the offseason that's not being talked about that I think is actually going to be one of the main dominoes in the quarterback carousel in the CFL.
It's going to depend on if Kavis Reed is still running that team.
Well, he doesn't really have that 100% vote of confidence from the Wet Nulls anymore, so we'll see what happens there. But we're going pretty long here. We can keep going about offseason topics, but we have nothing to talk about in the next couple weeks, so we'll continue that in the next episode. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us here on the Piffles Podcast, episode 104 of your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Give Amy a follow as well at RealAmyD. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, search PifflesPod. And of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. And special thanks as well go out to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible. Time to leave you. Some Beauty Killed the Beast, one of our featured artists of 2018. This is Hometown. It's burning like a flame. You can tear it all down.